This week on RSBNB Update, it's time for another festive yak track, Wintumber Aurora. Secret Santa gives to the citizens of Gielinor, but please, don't be a troll. We also cover more wonderful daily challenge changes, jump on the nostalgia bandwagon, and ask what is fun. This is RSBNB Update, episode 858, recorded Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. What is fun? Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Just Tanis and myself in this week. We had a bit of an existential crisis yesterday, didn't we?
You know, sometimes things come up in bits, and sometimes they give us more questions than we answer.
Yeah, that happened. This week on the monthly bit that we recorded about RuneScape Beyond 2020, one in 20 years. But I'll talk more about that later, of course, in the Patreon segment. We are, of course, here this week to talk about the Yak Track, Secret Santa, little mod Q&A, amongst other things. But if you're joining us for the first time, I am Shane12088, and he is Tanis79. You can find us in-game at Friends Chat. Bits Bytes, and if you want to hang around in Discord, we have one of those too, rsbnb.com/discord, and I think we'll just mention the show notes as well at update.rsbnb.com, just get everything in here right at the beginning. So we have another Yak Track, Wintumber Aurora. I don't know, I always love it when these things come out, because it's just, to me still, it's a breath of fresh air. In terms of, just in effect, getting on the Yak Track and training in whatever way the Yak Track suggests I do, it's just a welcome fresh breath of fresh air, rather than, me deciding to just go on a grind and cut 20,000 elder logs or something like that.
It typically has done that, and sometimes it's been a little grindy, sometimes it hasn't. But the one thing that I think it should always do is, you don't want to get on the interstate and think you're still on a two-lane road, right? Like, I didn't know I was on a Yak Track.
And that's because the first 10 tasks on this one are actually all skill and kill.
Yeah, maybe a little much, because the idea of the Yak Track is to diversify your play, right?
Right.
I'm not complaining about having choice, but that's a lot of choice in the beginning to where I didn't deviate my path, so you don't even realize you're on it.
I honestly think that this is a good thing to do for this one, because remember at task 15, you have the party hat shard.
That probably makes sense. So, that's probably why they did it.
You could just play to 10 and not even realize you're on a Yak Track, then you realize, hey, I want to get this other party hat shard, and Yak Track task 15 is a way to do it. Well, then you only got 5 tasks to go after that, and lo and behold, there you are. It's an easy way to get the shard. And of course, Yak Track has the premier version and the free version. That shard is on the free version as well. So I think it makes sense to have the skill and kill every task like that.
Yeah, it's just weird, though, to go all the way through there. Because, like I said, you want to know that you're actively doing something.
Well, you got the Yak Track notice in your inventory when you logged in this week.
Piece of paper.
It should have.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I got any paper.
Yeah, it's a Yak Track task list.
See, I had to open up the tab to, what is it, the extras and upgrades tab to find it.
Huh, interesting. All right. Well, some of the things you can get from this one, and I really like the Aurora theme for this. One of the things that's immediately visible upon going to Burthorpe and logging in is the Aurora-based polar bear, and the textures move with the camera, which is something I don't think they've ever done before, and it just creates a really nice-looking polar bear pet with that one. Other thing, of course, is the Snow Queen outfit. Snow Queen has a very high-fidelity model and was updated for this Yak Track. She has fingers and feet and toes, unlike our characters. We also have the Snow Queen's guard outfit, including all the weapons that are associated with it. And, you know, normally I'm not a huge fan of cosmetic overrides for weapons, but I can definitely see myself using some of these ones.
Yeah, I always prefer the stock sword one.
Yeah. I like the sword and the battle axe. I also like the book, the offhand book. That's a nice looking one. And then, of course, Christmas themed, we also have the Nutyacker outfit. Okay. Not a Nutcracker, a Nutyacker.
It's a Nutyacker.
All right. I laughed when I saw that. And of course, another pet that you're able to get a pet override is Red the Robin. I'm trying to find where Red the Robin is here at Berthorpe so I can. There he is. There he is. A robin. I don't really think of robins as a winter thing, but I guess that works.
Or red, for that matter. I mean, they got red bellies, but I would think of cardinals as red.
Well, it's got a red head and a white underside and brown top.
It's not even a robin, but okay.
Maybe that's what robins look like in the UK. Could be a subspecies.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. Other interesting things that you will see on the rewards track for this is Fixate Recharge Tokens for your 99 Master Archaeology outfit and its Fixate ability, which allows you to specifically request a certain type of artifact when excavating. Previously, these were only consigned to Treasure Hunter. Now you can get them through Yak Track and on the free track of all things, believe it or not.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, aside from that, protein items, lamps, few clue scrolls here and there, the usual dummies, some springs, some silver hog down, a couple cash bags thrown in throughout. But lo and behold, I think most of what we have here is relatively to be expected. So, and I know last time we talked about Yak Track, it felt pay to win, because of just how the tasks were structured. I haven't felt that yet. I'm on about task 20, so we'll see what happens as we get further beyond. The only one I skipped was a summoning or Herblore one, 650k Herblore XP or 550k summoning XP.
Yeah, that's,
which would have
that's
been, you know, upwards of 1,000 Elder Overload selves, which I thought, yeah, no, we're not that. Doing that's, that.
No, that's a skip token.
Yeah, that's a skip.
But the last time it had to do with the, remember how it was XP percentage by tier of.
Oh, right.
Done. That's
right, right. That's what really what brought it that was. In. And we got that again, too. So I guess it worked.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, I guess so.
Because I mean,
I noticed that when I was looking through it too.
Okay, fair enough. But overall, I'm not. You know, there's not much surprising on here, but definitely enjoy the Queen's Guard outfit and the Winter Wood items and all the different cosmetic overrides that come with this. Some of the outfits do look truly amazing, as they always do. I just, you know, blue and purple really aren't my two colors, so I'm wondering if they're, and I don't think that they're gonna, these would be recolorable, but hey, it is what it is. So as always, I'm a fan of Yak Track when they come out, and they're also using that new skybox at Berthorpe for this. But I want to talk about the addition of a new task this time around, the Secret Santa.
Tell us about that, Shane.
So there's a polar bear at the Yaktrak site. And if you right-click on that polar bear, there is an option, Claim Secret Santa. And every 2 hours in-game, you can claim a gift from the Secret Santa system. It's a minimum donation of 10,000 GP. Iron Man, if taking part in this, will get the Christmas food items. Or if you get a Christmas food item, that means there's no gifts around that you were able to get. And there have been reports of people getting things all the way from Tier 90 weapons. And somebody, and Jagex confirmed this, actually got a max cash stack. So somebody donated a max cash stack, and another player was fortunate enough to receive that.
It really kind of blows my mind. I don't know.
And there's also, on the act track, there's tasks where you have to donate to Secret Santa and tasks where you have to claim from Secret Santa.
Oh, okay.
So rather than finding presents like we did this year, you just have to donate or claim. And that's what they're doing with this.
Well, I hope you don't have to donate enough for that one of them titles, because that's a lot of dough.
So to get the Secret Santa title, that's one title, you have to donate 100,000 coins on 15 separate days. 100,000 coins in value. It can be coins or items for that. And, you know, I need to just say something with this. If you're going to be doing Secret Santa, don't be trolling people and don't be putting junk in there, because I got a single piece of Vizwax out of it for one of mine.
At least the one spirit shard.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be able to do that because you need to have a minimum 10K value.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I have always been with this, trying to put in items that have some sort of value to them, right? Like, if I go do a Reaper task and that Reaper task gives me, say, 3 mil in profit, I'll put that in the Secret Santa. Or if I do the daily treasure hunter thing and I get some magic note paper, which I don't use, I'll put that in Secret Santa, because there's always people out there who will use magic note paper or springs, right? So rather than just selling that kind of thing on the exchange, I've been putting that into Secret Santa for this.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Some of the other interesting things I've got from this, it's tied to the world. So there's been somebody on World 66 these past few days since this has been out who's been training crafting with Onyx rings and has been putting Onyx rings into this thing to the point where I've got a half dozen of those.
Nice.
Which, on that zone, it's about 1.1 million GP if you want to sell that. So for a new account who's just starting out,
several times.
Sell it. Yeah. But we really don't know much about mechanically how it works, aside from the fact that the pools are limited to whatever world you're on. What I'm wondering about what's happening here is JX using this as kind of a gold sink, where if somebody donates actual GP based on what's in the pool, is there a chance that Jagex will take that GP out of the game and just give them some other specific item that's in the pool instead?
Yeah, probably.
And that's one thing we're not 100% aware of yet, about how that's working. So it'd be interesting to have some intelligence on that. One other final thing on Secret Santa, there is a top Secret Santa title that you get by donating a grand exchange value of 200 million GP in a single donation to the Secret Santa. So some people out there are getting their top Secret Santa titles.
Yeah. I guess that'll be a good gauge to to know.
Yeah.
How many people would see with that title?
Yeah, so are you going to start doing this? Because I know we were just talking briefly in pre-show, and you said you hadn't been there yet to take part.
No, but you know, I think you had a good idea with, like, if you get you know, feathers or no paper.
Yeah, or you get something from a drop from a Slayer task or something. Put that in there, right?
Yep, so I'll probably start doing that because I almost always get something off of the daily stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I really like this, and it's just nice knowing that there are actually people in the community who are that generous. I think we even had somebody in Clan Quest get like 400 million GP off of this.
Know where I'm going when to check the box. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to the rich world.
Yeah, and that's a good question. Which worlds are the rich worlds? That's a very good question.
I'm pretty sure I know one.
Oh?
Well, I'm a secret Santa because that one's staying with me until I test the theory. Okay.
All right, fair enough. Oh, all right. Well, that is Yak Track Winter Aurora. Let's move on to, I think we got what, patch notes next, I think, if that's how I structured this. Yeah, patch notes are next. So, daily challenges got another look this week.
It almost looked like a what they would have called a ninja strike.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it really did look kind of like a mini, and I'm like, man, we just did these. So this is interesting.
It's the Christmas giving spirit of Mod Stew.
Oh, okay.
Extending daily challenges now only cost 25 wax, down from 30, which makes sense because at your best you get 100 a day, so 30 really doesn't round into that nice. Now, here's something really neat and really useful to me. When generating three daily challenges on a new day, if fewer than three challenges are toggled on, duplicates of unblocked challenges will be rolled. So, if you blocked all but Dungeoneering, you'll roll three Dungeoneering challenges rather than having to complete a challenge and pay Vizwax to reroll for the next challenge to the type you want.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, that's really nice. Damn.
So what I did is I turned everything off except Slayer, and for the past few days I've been doing this to just, you know, kind of push Slayer forward a bit quicker and, you know, doing it with the Abyssal Demons or Dark Beasts.
Yeah.
And get three large ones. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I think so this is more than you used to get with the old system, but I don't think for Dungeoneering it's as much as you used to get with the old system before the first rework came in. But for something like Slayer, you're still ahead of even where you were with the old system. Not the one that we had a couple weeks ago, but the one we had like at the tail end of 2019. So,
well, this has taken away the need to have to use all that wax if you're not. That's pretty big.
And now, really, all you need to do is extend if you want ample amounts of XP with this. Mm-hmm. Because that's basically, when you think about it, that's six challenges worth of Archaeology Slayer, whichever skill you should choose for the lamps.
Yeah, and the challenges are so much faster and smaller now, too.
Yeah. And I'll talk more about this later, but I rolled an alt to do the Golden Party Hat Hunt in one daily challenge this week. I went from level 1 to 5 Divination, level 1 to 4 Herblore, and gained numerous levels and other things as I was progressing along. So for new characters, these daily challenges are wonderful. And that's a perspective I didn't have before this past week.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That makes sense.
You can also now track all of your daily challenge slots, even if they contain the same challenge objective. And this one, players now need a minimum level of 99 in a skill to access the challenge block feature from a challenge mistress. So this means that for people like me who don't have 120 Dungeoneering or 120 Slayer, we can still force challenges to those ones without having 120. And that's what makes that second patch note we talked about so powerful.
Yeah, that's good too, because you used to not be able to do that. Like, you had to be done with it before you could block it, right? Yeah.
And free-to-play players can block member skills once they've reached the level cap, like level 5.
Ooh.
Previously, you weren't able to do that, and you would have just had to wait for it to re-roll on the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Which would kind of create the sense of, oh, hey, pay us some money to unlock membership.
Mm-hmm.
Agility Daily Challenge now counts each of the 7 segments of the Anachronia Agility Course as its 2 laps, similar to Yak Track agility tasks. So,
That's good because it's huge.
Right. So you basically only need to do 1 Anachronia agility lap in order to do your daily challenges with this if you wanted to go that way. Now, here's a good thing for peers and skill peers and whatnot. Basic challenges will no longer give XP in their skill when you click claim reward, and this is so that skilling peers or other specialist builds that only want to focus on 1 skill at a time can still use the daily challenge system. And along with this, all combat challenges can now be toggled off via a skill box in the skill select interface through a challenge master, and this can now be accessed at any level and turns off combat, prayer, and summoning daily challenges. It's almost like they knew what I was going to be doing this week, but we know it's not exactly lining up that way. If a player had any current basic challenge to do, the challenge mistresses will now give them the option to skip these challenges, and this is so that a new player who doesn't want to engage in certain skills or get XP from them doesn't have to complete all the basic challenge objectives, which are often combat-based because they synchronize with the path system. And they also adjusted the initial set of daily challenges assigned to new players after completing the basic challenges that were daily mining, daily smithing, and daily crafting. That's what they are now. Instead, previously, they were daily combat, daily prayer, and daily smithing. And you can hear Mod Stew's voice in this saying, "We think this is more skiller friendly." So
I would agree.
Another good thing there. And they removed the skip text from the challenge skip tokens and just changed it to complete and updated other bits of text to make it more clear that claiming the rewards from a completed challenge will still give you XP in that challenge's skill. And they also updated the challenge blocking interface to be much more responsive. I feel like that almost these changes made this week are more powerful than the changes made last week, and we're at the best incarnation yet of the daily challenge system.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that.
Or a couple weeks ago, it was more than...
Well, just, I mean, the ability to be able to repeat and keep working on the same
without
skill,
wax.
That is a really big deal. Because you used to be able to, I mean, you could do this, but it was tedious to do, right?
Yep.
You had to leave 5 things open, gather them up, and then re-roll them, and which was worth it with the old dungeoneering. But even now, I was thinking about that too when you were saying it. You know, even though it's lower in the dungeoneering, I mean, you just said that you did one the other day, and you were able to do it on any complexity.
Any size.
And see, that before it wasn't like that. It had to be...
It had to be max complexity.
Right. So, I mean, you can fly through that. I think they're in a good spot. I would have thought they were more... I mean, I would have thought that this is kind of like the mobile treatment, but yesterday changed a lot of things.
Yeah, you're right.
But before yesterday, that's exactly what I would have thought.
Yeah. So, overall, wonderful changes this week. Okay, next ones following from this. Text on the main menu has been made to true type font for better sharpness and readability. Honestly, I didn't notice it on this UI. It felt decent beforehand. But maybe that's just me expecting it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I didn't notice any difference.
Yeah. But. Next one. Greater Flurry will now deal increased single target damage when applied by the Greater Barge effect. And what this is exactly referring to is that with Greater Barge, if it's been 4.8 seconds since your last attack, you gain an additional bonus that will turn your next channeled ability into a damage over time attack. So it will make Greater Flurry with that do more damage. Once again, these are abilities that you need to purchase that are dropped by various bosses out there. And let's see, what is a Greater Barge currently at? Yeah, Greater Barge is currently 434 million. So I guess this goes into the basket where people go melee bossing, I guess. Which feels rare, but I'm sure there's cases where that's done. Next up, fix an issue that caused ranged abilities to not correctly put the player's auto attack on cooldown. You know what this means?
No.
This means that for a while, there were probably some abilities out there, I'm not sure which ones, that were able to, in effect, grant an extra ranged auto attack. In effect, doing what magic had for Fort.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Except with rage.
That sounds familiar.
That's good to nip these kind of things in the bud, eh?
Well, they learned their lesson, kept it quiet this time,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Both the players.
Yeah.
Everyone was ixnay on Fortick auto attack. It's back.
Fixed an issue where completing the hard mode task awarded the player the same amount of points as completing the task in normal mode on certain Reaper challenges. Fixed an issue that prevented the Granite Maul special attack from being used during the global cooldown if stored inside an Essence of Finality. I don't know anybody who is using Granite Maul for that,
Granite
but maybe
Maul.
maybe that's a common thing to put in a melee-based EOF.
I don't know.
In Once Upon a Time Gielinor Finale, a more appropriate shield animation is now used during Felipe's memory. What did you think of the quest?
I haven't done the quest.
Oh, okay, fair enough. You weren't last week. That's fine.
Yeah. But none of them in the string have, like, captured my attention.
Yeah, we had an interesting discussion on it, and you basically got to take it as an entire meta viewpoint in that you're kind of looking at Relomia as a picture of a different kind of version of you, and that's all I'll say about it. But you should definitely get on that because we're at 425 quest points, which means magic dice time.
Oh.
And who knows, you might just get a die.
I guess, you know.
Be a good time to finish City of Sintistan, too.
Yeah, that one.
I think we can get you through that one relatively easily. Just ping any of us if you want help with that.
Maybe we can do that over break.
Yeah, absolutely. The player, once again, needs to complete Once Upon a Time in Gielinor before they can wear the comp cape. All right. And this is an interesting one. As the perception of cosmetic overrides has evolved since the release of Death of Chivalry, plus, based on community feedback, the player is now considered to be disguised as Captain Dulcin, as long as they're either wearing the Black Knight Captain armor or have activated the Dulcin armor override. This is even if they've overridden their appearance to not appear disguised. So you can have the armor override on of Captain Dulcin, or you can be wearing the Black Knight Captain armor and have that appear hidden, and it will still work for the quest. It basically makes the override work, or it makes the armor work without it necessarily needing to be seen. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Full class citizens for cosmetic armor overrides. Just a couple other small ones here. Smithing partially folded alloy bars now plays a sound effect. There was no sound effect before. and some changes for mobile. Based on feedback, players now have the ability to change the direction in which messages appear in the chat box to be either ascending or descending. This, of course, was changed so that it would be descending down from the top, whereas on desktop it's going up from the bottom if you prefer them going the same direction in both clients. And to choose this, you select the common chat settings button at the bottom right of the chat box and select chat direction in that dropdown. I've actually gotten used to it coming down from the top, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would make a difference, but if it feels like that would be weird.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand the rationale for putting that in place because there's just, you know, 20 years of reflex that the chat is going to be scrolling from the top or from the bottom up, right? Mm-hmm. So people wanted that when mobile came out and they made that change, so it's been a while, but lo and behold, there we are.
Yay.
All righty. We're going to move on and talk now about Frank's free deaths, and in particular, who's Frank? You're probably wondering, right?
Yeah, who's Frank?
Well, Frank featured in the 2011 Halloween event and later appeared in the 2018 Halloween event. He's one of the horsemen.
I don't remember Frank as one of the horsemen being Frank.
Yeah, he temporarily served as a replacement for Death in the 2018 event.
Okay.
So maybe that's who we're talking about, because I think that's the only direct connection between Frank and Death. So we're going to have a series of free Death weeks here in December. Week one, from the 6th to the 12th, will be Angel of Death, next Angel of Death, that is, Barrows and Rise of the Six. Week 2, from December 13th to the 19th, will be the God Wars Dungeon, the Heart of Gelenor, Nex, and Telos. Week 3, from the 20th to the 26th, will be the Dagonoth Kings, the Kalphite King, the Kalphite Queen, the King Black Dragon, the Queen Black Dragon, the Rex Matriarchs, and Solak, of all things. And from December 27th to January 3rd, we have the Dragonkin Lab, the Temple of Amanishi, the Shadow Reef, the Magister, and Raksha. So, this seems a bit odd at first glance, doesn't it, right?
Yeah, I don't even know why they're like breaking it up in weeks like that.
Well, they actually have some interesting stuff in the copy for this post. So, they say, we've been offering these free deaths effectively as an admission that our death system doesn't really work that well, especially when it comes to learning tricky new bosses. Death is not only a problem in terms of cost for the top PVM players, but it's also a barrier to casual or mid-tier players trying PVM, as either they don't understand how death works or worry about losing money. And they want to tackle these problems, which goes without saying, I think, but they want the right data for it. And they don't want to do anything until they're fully confident and fully understand all the issues involved. Free Death Weeks have given a good amount of data, but they say they've been fairly scattershot. So Frank's Free Death will change that, allowing specific bosses and difficulties to be targeted while also looking at what sort of players are taking part and how they're playing. Because if you think about any of the God Wars fronts, you had the entire spectrum of people who were new to PVM, new to the bosses, or people who just wanted to see what the new update was. But if you're offering free elite dungeon deaths on the last week of the year, as well as the Magister and Raksha, you're going to get a different set of clientele coming out. Now, yep. They also said because Elder God Wars Dungeon had their free death weeks recently, they've decided to leave those out. Now, they'd love to see players who may not perhaps normally tackle these bosses get stuck in and fight new bosses even for the first time. And, you know, this is actually already happening, because I did have a conversation with David this week, who has been on the show in the past as one of our PVM experts, and he's already jumping at the bit to take me to do Overago and Raksha on these free death weeks.
Or are you going to go to Angel of Death too?
That's a good question. I'll see if I can get a group together for that one. Yeah. But from what I understand of Angel of Death, it's always more tricky because you got to have a specific tank for it and finding the group for it. I know we have some people in Clan Quest who do it, but it's not something that happens regularly. So
stick David and Taxi.
I think you need more than three people for Angel of Death, honestly.
Oh, well.
But who knows? So are there any of these ones that you'd like to try here?
Maybe.
And I should note, Virago is not on the list, but David wants to take me anyways. So that's
weird. I'm thinking dungeons. The
Elite Dungeons?
The Elite Dungeon ones are interesting.
You'd
to
like
me.
To take a second crack at those?
I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know people who can do that. We actually have had Clan Quest runs on that not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah. Sirion and I went, of all things. He died. I didn't.
Okay. Well, that actually tracks.
Yeah. This might also be a time to get that first Telos skill, I think. And maybe try soloing next? I don't know. But, see, this is me talking. Somebody who's moving into the realm of, let's just say, the mid-tier PVM umbrella. What I'm wondering with this is, what are the regular PVMer folks going to think about this? And what's the data going to say at the end of it? I'd love to have more data on this. Or see what the data says at the end of the day. Once this experiment's complete. So, people thought it was weird,
at all,
but I think makes sense. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense when you see that what they're trying to figure out, where the death cost hits, like what bosses it's hitting the most.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I'm wondering though. Is it going to cause drift? Like, will PVMers move around, or will they just do what they
right, and by targeting these specific bosses, you're going to be able to get that question, because we've of course seen preset setups with death costs for something like Solak upwards of 40 mil.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a really interesting question on those weeks as well of what's happening, and I think the ideal case of gathering data on this would be to have a netcast that in effect just monitors everything as it is, as it, with people with their regular PVM intentions. But of course, anytime you put a free death on anything to that effect, you're going to have more people coming in, and it's going to in effect skew the data from what you'd normally have. So if I was designing this from a data gathering perspective, I'd like to see, of course, it's nice seeing how many new people come in to try a boss, but I'd also like to see, let's just hold everything constant, and if we offer free deaths on this, and if the people who normally do PVM at these bosses continue to PVM there, what's the effect on that of the economy? And I guess you'd be able to pull that out from the aggregate thinking about it. So it makes actually a lot of sense why they're doing this, and I saw a lot of head scratching when this initially came out. But it makes sense if you think about it and look at what all the bosses are on this list. So,
I guess you got really kind of deep. So I wouldn't expect people to pick it up at first glance.
No. So I guess last week of the year, you, me, and someone else are going on a trio of the Elite Dungeons.
I'm down.
Okay.
I think that's the time.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely. We'll make it happen then. Alrighty.
I want to get through that first one.
What was that?
I said I want to get through that first one.
Oh, Siriu? Yeah. Uh-huh. When we went to the Elite Dungeon, Sirion Alaska and myself did, Siriu was actually the easiest.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And the second boss in that dungeon was the hardest, believe it or not, along with some of the other mobs out there. But yeah, that'll be a fun time, I think. I can already see where you're going to get tripped up on that on Elite Dungeon 1.
Well, but this time, it's going to be different.
Okay.
It'll be different this time.
Right on. Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm going to thank some Patreon supporters because these guys are going to be going into December with a new episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it because we had a time recording it. But I'll just thank these guys and we'll talk a bit about what we did here. So this week I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C, Arvids L, Christian S, Chunk the Monk, Cook Me Plonks, Diana, Drama Free, Duramax, Elo Matey, Free Milk, Gila Fleur, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jesse W, Jeebus, Jim M, Keski Plays, Lucky Ducky, Malinoric, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Rippeth, Ryan P, Samuel FL, Scott DF, Seth W, Singer, Stob Eve, Tanner JW, The Bears OP, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, and Zat. Thank you all of you for your support. It means the world to us, and you have given Sirion, Tanis, and myself an existential crisis yesterday when we were recording the most recent monthly bit.
Yeah,
entitled RuneScape Beyond 20 Years, with an emphasis on what happens after RuneScape Mobile. Because if you look at the player charts, RuneScape Mobile really didn't bring in that many new players yet. And we asked a lot of hard questions about it and talked about where you can go from here, whether it's completely retailing the game for a mobile audience focused on parts of the world that don't currently play, like Asia and the Middle East, just to give two examples, or if you capitalize on nostalgia and bringing back lapsed players. And the decision about how Jagex might get to that raised a very, very interesting question. What did I say about this? What did I say going in? I said it's either going to be there's either going to be a profound realization or we're going to not be happy at the end of it, I think I said, right?
Mm-hmm. Not realizing that they weren't mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the monthly bits are always good for. They're good for those discussions that pop up and provide a realization that doesn't necessarily have to be good. We do that in most of them, and you gain access to the entire back catalog of these by subscribing at patreon.com/rsbnb for as little as $1 a month. You gain access to the entire catalog of monthly bits, which, you know, if you're out there for one thing, go get this monthly bit. I think this is the one that I have to laugh at, smile about, and kind of have a bit of doubt in my head at the end of it. I'm very proud of what we did, but if you're going to listen to one monthly bit, listen to this one, I think. I think that goes without saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those bits. It's sometimes either we come up with a really, you know, significant kind of realization of, oh, sometimes we predict the future. And then sometimes we don't know what happened. We all sit there like we just watched a car wreck. This one has a little bit of everything.
I shouldn't be laughing, but yeah. Okay. Also, if you want it more than just the monthly bit, we do have a $3 a month tier where you get a Discord rank and stereo versions of the podcast. And for $5 a month, you get a shout out each and every week, as well as gaining access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. So with that being said, check us out at patreon.com/rsbnb. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks.
All righty. Aye, aye, aye. Aye, aye, aye. Indeed. Okay. So there was also a live stream this week about Modcast with Mod Jack and Mod Spear. Talking, or not Mod Spear, Montspear is the production guy. Mont Sponge. Sorry, I got that wrong. Just taking general questions about this. There wasn't too much that crossed my mind with this. So we'll just go through some of the bullet points here quickly. As of Tuesday, 492 billion GP has been donated to Secret Santa.
It feels like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, 492 billion.
And that's not being like straight one-for-one recycled.
No. No, I don't think it would be. And they didn't really say if it was giving it out, but there it is. So 112,000 donated, with over 53,000 uniques as of Tuesday afternoon. A max cash stack has been donated, which we talked about, and 2,000 people have donated for the highest title of 200 million GP. So that's where we were at on Tuesday. And following from this, just a couple of questions that I pulled out that I think are interesting to what we talk about here at Update from time to time. Question came out, will there ever be reworks instead of new content? And the answer to this one is the same as it's been for a long time in the past. If a piece of content is going to be reworked, it's likely going to be part of a new piece of content rather than just, say, blanketly reworking Falador.
And see, that's all fine when it comes to environment stuff, things like that, but it kind of makes you wonder, what does that mean for skills that exist, you know?
Right, as in, are we ever going to get another mining and smithing rework for woodcutting, for example, and fletching?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the question that always comes up, and they always say, yeah, it comes down to time and budget, and that they really would be leery of spending that much time on something like another mining and smithing rework. But we know it works, and the players like it, unless the engagement spoke otherwise. But I don't know.
Well, the engagement knocked the economy off of where they projected it. Yeah. So that's not it. And once again, boy, it's crazy, but going back to what we talked about yesterday, will we be retaining or growing?
Yeah. And ask yourself this question. Archaeology brought players back. Mining and smithing rework brought players back for a period of time. Would a finale to the Gnome Quest do that? Would a construction rework do that? Would a summoning rework do that? Would the mining, fletching, crafting rework do that? And it probably would. It's just a question of having to invest huge amounts of time into those skills. And can you capture that feeling of bringing those people back without, you know, doing the whole skill top to bottom, I wonder?
Well, I mean, but we know that going forward, we're not going to be having the big epic storylines and quests.
Yeah.
All of this. Yeah. So there should be room for something, right? Like, we know we're probably going to be going back to
a little
smaller,
bit simpler. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, and simpler.
Yeah.
That would, to me, would seem like the perfect time to do bigger work when it comes to,
right,
like a skill or
but then
like that.
This is always the question, and I asked this last time, and I think the answer is the same. Would you rather have a new skill, or would you rather have something similar to the mining and smithing rework? Would you rather have an archaeology, or would you rather have a mining and smithing rework? Let's just say.
I gotta have both of those, but let's put it in terms of like, some new skill that we don't even know what it would be,
yeah,
versus a construction rework where you actually could build. I think that brings players back.
Yeah, and the question is, you know, will it be enough, and players involved in the decision making? Who knows? That might net some interesting benefits, let's just say.
Well, I think we got an interesting question coming up about that.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of pivoted there. Will the staff of Sliske special attack be updated? And this was a combat question, and you know, I really honestly couldn't care less about what this does for my purposes right now. The special attack is called From the Shadows. A shadow clone is summoned from the shadow realm that attacks your target five times, dealing 20 to 100% ability damage with each attack. It costs 50% adrenaline. And the reason this is here is because the staff of Sliske was obviously buffed by Mod Sponge, but overall he wasn't happy with it, with the special. And the answer to this is going to be to just make a new special attack at some point. Something that people will enjoy. And see, that's the thing. This staff currently costs 475 million GP. It's tier 92. Obviously, it's probably higher than that, given the GE values and the way that works. But this is a tier 92 with a special that people don't like, whereas, as we all know, the Saren Godbo special is god, to the point where some people purchase multiple Saren Godbos to put inside an Essence of Finality, of all things. So, Essence of Finality, for those unaware, captures a special attack and lets you use it without the weapon being equipped. All right. Next up. Does Mod Iroh's departure impact the player avatar rework? And the answer to this is, in terms of the project, it's at the same state. It was not tied to Mod Iroh. There were some technical issues found meshing heads together within the models, and this pushed the project scope beyond what was able to be fit in for the year of 2021. And this is what we pretty much determined last week on the show when we found out that Mod Iroh left, based on some reasoning. So that's confirmed. Now, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. How passionate do you feel about the player avatar rework?
I'm not.
Okay.
It would have been nice, and I think taking the player avatar in as a whole was a special. I think the idea behind it was, this idea of making RuneScape more of this virtual world and it being an extension of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I don't think that can happen now. So I'm not that attached to the rework, since I don't think that's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, and it becomes a question of just how much you want to cram into this, because it's a really interesting idea when it comes down to it at the end of the day. So we could have had this model go into game, but the technical details behind it really just made it not feasible for this year. And we have to assume, and you know, we're big air quotes on assume here, that this is part of what put Mod Iroh's decision to leave, is that he wasn't able to pursue this project to the degree of fidelity that he'd liked. And once again, that's an assumption, so big emphasis on the term assumption there. And the reason I talk about this is because of a couple of reasons. The first one is that there's a question asked about how should players have impact in terms of what gets made, right? And one of the things that they said on this live stream was to, in effect, just keep talking about those pieces of content that you want changed on, you know, the forums, Discord, and Reddit. And that's part of what we do here. We elevate certain ideas and problems into the grand scheme of things, as has been our shtick with accessibility throughout the entire Elder God Wars, which I think has yielded benefits. And the reason I asked you how you feel about it, and I want to directly talk to the listeners on this issue here right now, is that if you guys feel as though you want the player avatar rework to happen and you liked where that was going, the player avatar rework has to become, if you want this project, it has to become the next bank rework. in that it's always asked about at every live stream. It's always talked about on the social media feeds. It's always talked about in terms of, you know, maybe even taking some of the concepts we saw from live streams, some of the images we saw from concept art, and meshing those in together with existing things into the game to say, hey, what if, you know, you combine these outfits and this is what RuneScape could look like. In effect, these sorts of things need to be elevated to the top of the public discourse when it comes to anything RuneScape related in the various communities out there. So if you out there listening to this feel that this is something that you feel passionately about and you want to be part of one of the next major updates, then it's something that you need to keep talking about. And it depends on, you know, what the listeners think. I think this could be a train we could jump on too if enough listeners want that. And that's why I asked you, Tanis, on that. You know, personally, I could go either way on it. I think it looked wonderful, but it's not something that I'd rather have, you know, replace a quest or a new skill for that just to make an example. So yep,
that's kind of where I'm at with it too.
So if it's something you guys want, elevate it to the top of the public discussion in community discords, Reddit, forums, social media, practically anywhere. That's how we ensure this project will eventually see the light of day. Now, the next question was a really interesting one, and this was, how do you decide if content is fun? Which, when you think about it, yeah, that's a very important question to ask. And I liked what Mod Jack had to say on the answer to this, because this is effectively game design 101. And he said the way the question...
I thought it was confusing.
Okay. The way the question...
So maybe you can clarify.
...is phrased is that it implies that we need to allow it to go live. And he said it's very rare for a project to get that far into development where it would have to be canceled. And you know what immediately crept into my mind here?
What's that?
The combat weapon rework thing that they took time with.
Mm-hmm.
Or the complicated comp rework as two examples. And the processes used to build the content normally prevent this from happening because of the numerous stages of design, prototyping, and play tests. And if I can just ask, what part did you think was complicated?
Well, just, but how does that measure fun? How is, you know what I mean? Like, well, it wouldn't get that far in the process. Well, how? Why?
Oh, okay.
Like,
I see.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, in terms of measuring fun, you can in effect say, who is this content catered towards? And let's use Centistan Archaeology as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
That piece of content is catered towards people who are involved in the Elder God War storyline, people who have done the City of Centistan quest and are now in Centistan, and people who are fans of archaeology. So based off of that, you can automatically assume that that kind of content will be fun and played by those three different types of players, assuming you execute it without any bugs or problems in it. That's one example of it. In terms of, let's use one of the Elder God Wars fronts as an example. Let's use the Archglacier. How do you make the Archglacier fun? You add the safe death mechanic to it so that normal mode has 100% safe deaths. And you add on to it the ability to choose which mechanics you're going to face. And with that, you create a piece of content that is fun for the ultimate high levels because it's got a streak climbing mode with hard mode. But it's also got a mode that has free deaths and allows people to learn the combat system. So that's how you make that piece of content fun. So the term fun, in effect, implies engagement, at least in my perspective, and an easy way to understand what's going on with said piece of content. Does that clarify things?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but it's just such a... it's a really weird kind of word to try to quantify, you know, with metrics. I mean, engagement's
right.
One, you know,
right.
But does that tell the real story? But I do see what you're saying. Like, I understand it.
Yeah, and, you know, with that, there's always going to be questions and lots of players who don't like certain pieces of content, and because of that, there's always going to be the question if something is fun or not in terms of, you know, the binary yes or no. But at the end of the day, like we said, and like I've learned this week, is that the daily challenges system has a completely different meaning if you have a brand new character.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily need to be fun in that it provides that hit of endorphins. It just needs to be immensely useful for a certain section of your population. Don't.
Yeah, that's true.
And the last question that I pulled out that I thought was interesting was, will we see more old cosmetic items returned to the oddment store? And they were coy on what they could be, but they said there's a very good chance that there's going to be some oddment store changes in 2022 that will bring old cosmetics back.
Yeah, that doesn't, I mean, duh.
Yeah.
connection that's free
to the
money
store
right there
is always,
for them.
It's always wonderful.
Yeah, and I mean they'll make money on that.
Yeah.
Cash in on that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of nostalgia, I got a nice unexpected gift this week from Jagex actually sent to me. Yeah. They sent me a deluxe edition of the book, RuneScape, the first 20 years. And this is the book with the gold foils and the other piece of art in it. It's a wonderful book. You know, it goes from the very beginning all the way up to the player avatar rework, which I'll read a passage of in just a moment because I think that's really interesting looking at it in what we've just been discussing. Mm-hmm. But the book is wonderful. The finishing on this is just great. So big thank you to the RuneScape team for sending these out to people, including myself. And it did also come with a note about 20 years of RuneScape, which I'll just share right now. So the note inside the book read, 20 years ago, gamers first arrived in a whole new world of fantasy as RuneScape. Our iconic little game launched in 2001. Two decades on, RuneScape has become one of the world's longest-running online games. The 20th anniversary highlights that there's something truly magical about RuneScape's world, its gameplay, its players, and the people who bring it to life. This book, RuneScape: The First 20 Years, an Illustrated History, is the story of that magic. Together with Dark Horse Books and author Alex Calvin, we've captured memories, adventures, stories, and friendships to tell how RuneScape and old school RuneScape became the living games they are today. Today, RuneScape's world of Gilanor is a vast one, one steeped in histories, characters, lore, and inhabited by an incredible community of players, all with shared memories from the past two decades. This book is for you and every citizen of our shared world to enjoy. That message was shared and written by Phil Mansell, Mott Pips, CEO.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so there's a nice piece of art in there as well. I'm not exactly sure what the one on the left-hand side is. I think looking at it, I'm not entirely sure what it is. It mentions something about lesser gods. I'm not entirely sure what it's depicting, but the one on the right pane is, of course, Tim and Crunchy, who we used to see on the RuneScape login page for that. So, and I just actually want to share a bit of a passage out of something that's incredibly relevant after our discussion that we just had. And one of the last sections of the book is called Avatars Revisited, and it talks about the player avatar rework and how this will, of course, will introduce greater graphical fidelity with refreshed masculine and feminine base characters and outfits for both new hairstyles and facial hair. Now, of course, we know this project is paused currently, but I just want to share some of the words that were penned in here by Mod Iroh and Mod Warden. Mod Iroh said, "We want you to feel like this refresh has reinforced the magic connection between the player and the spirit of the character you've created as and retained. We have much larger ideas for where we can take the player avatars in the future, but for now we need to deliver something tangible," Mod Warden said. "Our focus is on refreshing the current avatar creator, bringing it up to an amazing new standard using only the technology available in the RuneScape engine today. This technical framework provides a few extra challenges, but ultimately it'll let us roll the project out much faster. Longer term, though, Mod Warden wanted this to happen. He said, in the game, your avatar manifests everything that you are digitally, your achievements, your progress, and your identity. It becomes an everlasting presence in the game world. I want RuneScape to lean further into that idea and look at what more we can do with the avatar." And this kind of goes into what we heard from him on our episode with him last year at this point now, is that he wanted RuneScape, in effect, to become more of like a metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, and I want to tie this back into the live stream as well as the book, is that if you guys really feel passionate about the Avatar rework and you want to see this, it needs to be discussed in the same vigor and the same language as these quotes were being used here. And you need to keep asking for this going forward, I think, because if it reaches to the point where it's consistently being discussed, there's a much higher chance that it'll be picked up again and resumed quicker. Because in the game, with that following the initial avatar refresh, Mod Warden wanted a whole new era of in-game identity that would go beyond the one kind of heroic avatar and ultimately let you sculpt something that would make it feel as though it was entirely your own. So that's what the avatar vision of the original avatar rework project was going to be, and we'll just have to wait and see if this project gets picked up and what its new objective will be going forward. So,
sounds like it's ran head first into the reality of RuneScape.
Yeah, the reality of a game that's 20 years old, great deals of technical debt, and trying to make something work that isn't exactly going to be wrinkle-free, let's just say. So I think it would have been good to continue with it, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens on that. So, but nonetheless, to quote back from the book, I was overjoyed to receive the book, and let's just once again say a big thank you to it. And if you, this is the deluxe copy. They do sell the regular version still at bookstores, I think. If you are a RuneScape player who has been around a great deal of time and you want a collectible for the 20 years, I think this is probably one that you'd want to choose, either the standard version or if you wanted to go out on the limb, the deluxe version as well. And I think it can be found at most bookstores. I even heard that somebody in the U.S., in the southern U.S., found it at a Barnes & Noble, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Right?
So. I wonder how much that runs.
I don't know. I think the standard version isn't too bad. Have a look on Amazon.com because it should be there, right? RuneScape 20 years. RuneScape the first 20 years. Hardcover $33.99.
Well, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Kindle $21.99. So if you wanted the standard version, that's actually not too bad.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Through Amazon.
Okay.
So, might be something worth picking up if you're a RuneScape fan.
Yeah, Christmas time.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to our questions then. First one is from Tycho, who has returned to the game recently. He says, "Dear RSPMB, December is here, and with it comes celebrations, presents, and a lot of jingles to every house. I, however, have started looking into RuneFest 22, maybe thinking too far ahead, and what to wear at the venue. I would hope to make something more daring than the adventurer outfit I wore when I met Shane back in 2018, and he claims he gave me a big bear hug, but it really wasn't. But he says his level of crafting will determine just how it goes. My question now is, would you be interested in taking part at this magnificent event if Jagex were to host it again in the UK in this coming year? And if yes, what is the one thing you would be looking forward to with the journey? If no, what's the biggest obstacle? I hope I will see you all next year with archaeology capes and pitchforks. From Tycho Elf of the Nordic Lands. I think, yes, it's always something to consider.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a dream to go. I hope someday I'll go.
Yeah.
And if it was next year, I would go in full mourner's gear. Just to make sure.
That's actually a really good one.
Right?
Maybe they could do that as the theme for it. Runefest 2022, Plague's End.
Plague's End, yes. Yeah, everyone gets to kick open a door as they come through. Yeah, I think it would be special, and I would look forward to just meeting all the people.
Yep, that's what it is. That's what it is.
You know,
that's exactly my answer to that one as well. That's the main thing, and obviously, you know, just you know, getting to experience that and a different country, of course, because people underestimate it, but the UK is vastly different than North America.
Oh, I would. Yeah.
So
I want to go to the pubs. Woohoo!
There are a lot of those.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you have already underscored the biggest obstacle.
Yeah.
The plague outfit, right? Plague's End. Mourner's outfit, rather.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, I mean, who knows what the flavor could be by then, and.
Yeah.
Who knows where we'll be, but
give you an idea with Omicron, even though we don't know if it's more dangerous or less dangerous than Delta yet. You already, as of this week, have to have a PCR test, a COVID test to come into Canada or the US, right? And prior to that, you also have a number of days of self-isolation following that. And I can already say that if there's test requirements like that, or if there's any kind of isolation requirement, I won't be traveling internationally because I don't want to spend however much time it might be in any other country, whichever country it would. And this would even go if I had to go to the US, is that I wouldn't even go to the US if I had to do that isolation thing. It's just not something that I want to play into. So that is definitely going to be the biggest thing going forward, I think, for everybody. And, you know, I also think the responsibility of Jagex, because you don't necessarily want to have a situation going on where you're hosting a RuneFest in October, and then lo and behold, you have this new variant crop up, and you realize that it's been imported into the UK, and you've just hosted a super spreader event.
Yeah, that would suck too. But I guess this is also, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's an argument for the whole vaccine passport stuff. And,
well, yeah, you know, I honestly think at that point that's not going away yet. Probably not until 2025 at least, based on this. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of arguments to be made about that as well. So I think that is definitely the biggest obstacle for everybody in question, because as it is, the way these things start, you have to secure the venue by March, April for this. And you need to start planning by May. So you need to know that there's going to be certainty for October by April.
There's no way.
You know, looking out to where we are right now, if Omicron is the last one, then maybe. Because there's some theories out there, and these, of course, have not been proven yet, that this is how the Spanish flu ended. The Spanish flu ended by mutating into a more transmissible variant, but it was milder. And so far, Israel and South Africa have said that all of their cases of Omicron are in unvaccinated people. And even those unvaccinated people are having relatively mild cases compared to what they saw with Delta. So if that does indeed pan out to be true, that could be very interesting because you replace the dangerous Delta with something that might be slightly less dangerous with Omicron. And, of course, this is coming out of a handful, nothing, you know, scientifically proven yet, but only a handful of observations out of the UK, or sorry, Israel and South Africa. So that's gonna be a huge obstacle going forward on this. But to go back to your question, I think that calling RuneFest 2022 with the slogan "Plagues End" and encouraging, you know, mourners' outfits would be, probably be a good thing at this point.
Right? I mean, a built-in mask. You're all good. You're protected.
And then what if you get there and they have you act out the Plague's End storyline and you realize that it was all put together as a way of just like it was in the Quest series. Of course it's not like that in real life, right?
Yeah. They could do something.
I mean, at least we can kind of poke fun at it at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm boosted. Yeah. I'm back to licking banisters, man. I'm okay. I'm pulling gum off the underneath the church benches.
Right, because that's where you were last week. We said you weren't feeling well, but we didn't say why you weren't feeling well.
Yeah, no, that was rough.
That was the third vaccine.
Yeah, it's totally worth it, but it was rough.
And now I need to say that exactly how you felt, that's how I was during our City of Sentistan episode.
I don't know how you did it. Like, the headache was too bad of a headache.
Oh, yeah, I had that too.
Man, dude. Yeah.
Which one was it? Was it Moderna or Pfizer you got?
Pfizer.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I stuck with the same flavor all the way through.
Okay. Next question is from Stray. We know we now know that the new executive producer for RuneScape 3 worked on Old School. Presumably some of their design philosophy will carry over. Hopefully not in the form of pulling out every update or something like Rune Labs. So how would you feel about a Moth Labs approach where devs could pitch their passion projects to the player? Also, do you think that the Golden Party hat hunt was part of the new executive producer's influence? Possibly an example of the type of nostalgia-focused updates we might be getting. I feel like
That's
Mod
a
Labs
great
could,
question.
Yeah, it is. Because I feel like Mod Labs could be effectively their game jam sessions they used to do on steroids.
Well, it could be. But this question just got me because I'm like, this is the simplest, most genius thing that I can't believe no one thought of until I just read it here.
Oh, okay, so you're a huge fan of it then.
I think so, because like what was Rune Labs missing? People that knew what they were talking about. If you actually had that, maybe voting on these things wouldn't be so bad, and watching how they rise up and, you know, what comes up.
But at the same time, you want to be careful that you don't pit developer against developer.
Well, now isn't that competition, though, Shane?
I know.
I would think that Mr. Free would be all about that.
Like, it's good to have some discussion on this like that, but I also feel as though there needs to be developer supremacy in that if the team feels that a certain piece of content needs to go forward, that definitely should happen. But at the same time, it shouldn't be, you know, who is going to be voted off the island sort of approach for the JMod, right?
Well, right. But that's another way that the Rune Labs failed, right? Because there was supposed to be regular content along with that, and we didn't see the same kind of... Right. So if you were to do that and then let this be that that boilerplate, like what you're talking about with the player avatar and keeping that up. Hey, hey, are we getting it? Are we getting it? Hey, where's our construction rework? Hey, where's... I think that kind of stuff, if a developer kind of took it and said, okay, well, here's my vision for it. See if people get behind it or not. You know?
I don't know.
Because, I think it's genius.
Okay. The part I'm not 100% sold on is that I feel as though we're at a stage with RS3 where a good number of the pieces of content aren't just, you know, a developer saying, hey, I'll make Romeo and Juliet, right? Or, hey, I'll make an agility skill, as how skills like that in the RS2 and classic days came about. Mm-hmm. I think we're at a point where there needs to be a cohesive vision of what the storyline looks like going forward. And the updates that funnel into that in terms of how do we advance the storyline and what kind of content do we do that with. This year it was obviously Battle of the Monolith as an Aldra's Quest, City of Sintistan, and the Elder God Wars fronts, right? But what if instead of making it individual passion projects, what if, you know, every quarter, two quarters a year, you just have a bit of a discussion and a round table, let's just say, with the community to gather information about where things could go and use that to set the direction for two quarters ahead and then have the other two quarters in effect be set by the studio themselves. And then you could have, if you consider this year, from May until November is basically just 100% Elder God Wars from Battle of the Monolith into the fronts. Boom, boom, boom. Right?
Yeah.
That's about 6 months worth of content, two quarters. You could stack the two Jagex quarters together and you could stack the two player-decided quarters together. Or you could split them apart if they're smaller in that same sort of way. So I think it needs to be more generalist rather than having it come from individual devs. Because I don't think we live in a world where devs are pitching the majority of the content. Sure, you know, we could have maybe this would be a good thing to do would be a developer passion quarter where you have four updates that are in effect voted on by the community that are developer passion projects. But yet again, you fall back into that same problem of pitting the developers against one another, which I'm really not a fan of. So I think if anything, you got to take it up one level. And if you were to do this, in effect, just allow the players to vote on certain themed quarters or certain themed months as is set by the design team. Don't, you know, in effect, put it down to the individual developer. Just take it up to the general design level, I think.
I was going to ask you, do they still work in those, like, scrum teams? Because couldn't you put it forward as a team?
You could, like yeah. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure what the team breakdown is at this point. It's been a long time since we have heard anything about that, as to who works with who and if there's, you know,
there's
teams
probably been
hard
movement
edges and whatnot, right? So
yeah, well, and there's always movement, but there's probably been even more lately.
Yeah. And when it comes down to it, do you think the RuneScape 3 player base would like having pulled updates like old school?
Well, I don't know. What subset?
Right.
For the most part, I don't think people will care as long as they're entertained.
Yeah.
What I like about that idea is just that players aren't designers and they don't know what's
exactly
good for the game. And where if this was, you know, mods putting stuff together, they wouldn't propose something that would be detrimental. They would be proposing something that, like, everything on there would be good.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, every one of the things could be something that could come in game. that's realistic.
Right. But here we're going back to that thing of having individualistic kind of updates that don't have a cohesive theme about them. And if you look back, 2020 was archaeology, 2021 was Elder God Wars.
Yeah.
Do you want to go back to before 2020?
I don't, but apparently Jagex does because they took the direction away.
And, old school executive producer speaks volumes, but we'll just have to wait and see what that means, I think.
Right.
And that's a great deal of stuff that we've been reading into, is that it feels like it's a change, but it very well could not be, thinking about
it. Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
There are a lot of indications.
Yeah. And, these are subtle indications that you see, and we kind of pulled together again on the monthly bit. It's interesting how all these things work together about what's being talked about in the community currently, what our questioners are talking about, what we talked about on the bit.
Very synchronistic.
But as for the golden party hat and the new executive producer, I don't think so. Because remember back for the first part of the anniversary quest at the start of the year, you actually got Relomia's party hat. And that was a huge troll in that it didn't look anything like a party hat. It was a party hat that you would find at a five-year-old's party, except there were two of them on top coming out of both sides of your head.
Yeah.
So I think the idea to do a party hat was probably in existence since the start of the year.
Yeah, I would guess so. And just from being around you guys, I've learned how long development takes.
Yeah.
And so it would have predated that.
You're looking at for a small update, 6 to 8 weeks from start to finish.
Yeah.
And you start making things bigger and bigger, and you get into the point of, well, let's make it 3 months. Let's make it a quarter. Let's work 6 months out. Then there's things that you're working a year or 18 months out, like things like archaeology and the Avatar rework. So there we have it. Thank you for the questions, everybody. If you want to send your own ones in, you can send them to questions@rsbnb.com or drop them in our form at update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right. You have a pick of the week for us this week, a YouTube channel.
Yeah, so I have a pick of the week. It's a YouTube channel called Channel Awesome, and I watch a person that goes by the Nostalgia Critic, and his whole, his catchphrase is, he remembers it, so you don't have to. but it's pretty fun. I've watched a lot of these, old movies that you remember watching when you were a kid, like Total Recall and Rocky and, all these movies. And sometimes it's funny to just go back and you don't realize how absurd they are until, the Nostalgia Critic just starts picking it apart and you're like, oh yeah, that was kind of dumb, but it's very entertaining. It's very fun. Sometimes he will even, bring in other people from the channel. So there's the angry video game nerd will come in when there's a crossover, and that's a lot of fun. So that's my pick of the week, the Nostalgia Critic. And it's funny, I first started watching it with my very first 99 grind. Years and years and years and years back. So it's been around for quite a long time. But I quite enjoy it, and I hope you go check it out.
If you had to pick one of the things that he's talked about, what would you say would be your favorite?
Oh, man. I'd have to say there's two. One is Judge Dredd. That one is so good. It's really funny if you remember that old, late 80s, early 90s flick. That, and I'd say DuckTales is fun. Because that one, he either really likes stuff. What was that?
That rings a bell.
Yeah.
Oh, he's even got Star Trek Motion Picture, Insurrection, Search for Spock, The Final Frontier. That would be an interesting one to watch. Generations, Into Darkness.
Yeah, and what's fun about it is, I mean, because he does some Star Wars too, but he really come. I mean, he's coming at it from purely like nostalgic movies and stuff. Like, I don't think he has very much background in either one, so it's kind of a clean perspective in that way.
Yeah, my only complaint with these, and this is a problem that I have with YouTube and YouTubers in general, there's very few YouTube videos I can watch that are more than 5 minutes long. I see 25 minutes for a YouTube video, and it's like, okay, do I watch this or do I watch a show of something else?
Right. Yeah.
But that's more of a me problem than the content, because I'm sure, you know, you enjoy the content, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind long-form YouTube videos, and a lot of times, you know, I'll be listening partially and watching partially and back and forth. And, yeah.
And that's why here we always try and make our nibbles under 7 minutes if we can.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's because that's how I like to watch YouTube.
Yeah, Shane has a short attention span.
Oh, boy. I wonder what that means. Alrighty, achievements of the week starting off. Crazy Leg 722 got 99 Hunter on December 1st. Darkest Night got 99 Constitution also on the 1st. Then on the 1st, we continue on with Delinda EST with 120 range, Delta Polo with 99 fire making, Legion 1943 with 120 farming, and the Outdoors got 99 Dungeoneering.
Alright, and continuing on the 30th, we have Dr. Reggie with 99 summoning. We have Tanny Keat on the 29th with 99 prayer and 99 fishing. That was on the 28th. And then we have Trulia Weeb with 99 farming on the 28th. And Atamuha with 99 slayer on November 27th.
That's a good try at that name. I wasn't sure how I'd say it, but I think you you hit the nail on the head there. So,
you think?
All right. Shot. So, I'm going to talk about what I've been up to on RS. It's been a really interesting week. Last week on the show, I forgot to mention that I picked up Greater Ricochet, made my largest ever RuneScape purchase at just under 1.6 billion GP for a single ability unlock. Perked out my Nox bow and ascensions, and you understand how things start adding up in the PVM world. So that's what's happening on one character. And you said I said one character, right? Mm-hmm. I'm currently at 7 of 8 shards. I'm missing either the artisan or the support shard. I'm not going to pay 30 mil unless it's a day before and I don't get it. But what I did on Sunday is I made a new account. And this account is a skiller account, and it is primarily to skill, do the yak track, and get 99 untrimmed farming eventually, but also put together a second party hat. And that one is currently missing the support and artisan shard, and because it's a skill peer, it won't be doing the combat or the bossing shard. So that means that I'm going to have to do all of the other ones in order to get that because I'm missing out on that. But in the last few days, I've learned the benefit of daily challenges. I have learned how overpowered Silverhawk boots are in that agility is my currently second highest skill because of that.
Well, it won't be for long. You just keep pumping them feathers in there and thanking the Lord that you got them.
Right.
And then you would be running around a gnome course.
Yeah. Then I've been using the daily challenges and treasure hunter to get construction up without putting money into it because of needing to unlock player owned farm things. And the story behind this is that one herb lore daily challenge got me to level 4. One divination daily challenge got me to level 5 divination. And so on and so forth. I could continue. I spent about a half an hour at RuneSpan, got level 21 runecrafting. I started archaeology today, doing the archaeology act track task. And that skill brings me back directly to the skill launch, and it is such a perfect skill. And I'm thinking that aside from, you know, just the early gameplay experience again, archaeology has been my favorite thing to experience on that account again. Even though I'm currently only level 24 on that one.
So. I know, but it's archaeology. I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah.
You know what you'll have to try, Shane?
What's that?
Well, since you get to do everything fresh, I wonder if construction contracts will really help if that'll play a role.
So what I'm thinking of trying with that is I'm taking construction to 60 with treasure hunter lamps and daily challenges for the player-owned farm. And then after that, we'll go into construction contracts. Because I think if we looked at the numbers when those came out, it was around the 60 to 85 band that those were the most optimal. So we'll do it for that. But overall, just experiencing things again has been wonderful. And as you would expect, I got the gathering shard from farming already.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, and you can avoid pyramid plunder too.
Yeah. Safe cracking right off the bat. Or is it right off the bat? I forget when safe cracking starts.
Pretty soon.
Yeah. But overall, I think that if anybody has the opportunity to do it who is maxed, should definitely do this because it's an entirely different game from when you first started. Yep. And that's what I've been up to this week.
Oh, cool.
How about you?
So I started the week mining, ran out of hoarders, had to go gather some energy, but gathering energy is so fast now. I mean, it's just so quick. I spent like one evening and had another like 30Ks worth. So that was really nice. And then I was able to get right back to my spot here and keep on mining. So that's what I'm doing.
You didn't even realize you were on a yak track.
I didn't even realize I was on a yak track. I mean, I knew the yak track. You know, I knew the yak track started, but when I went to when I went to open it today, it's a task 7. I was like, how'd that? Okay. And then I'm like, oh yeah, they're all skill and kill till 10. Okay.
Safe cracking is level 62.
Okay. But that's still
not too bad.
That's not too bad. The main thing is you cut out pyramid plunder.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so important. And that's why I said it's an entirely different game with that. So. All right. So before we wrap up, I'll just make a note that it is that time of the year. It is now December. So if you guys have clips for the clip show that you'd like to hear that you think you remember a certain episode or you remember something that you want to pop a clip on that we haven't put out for Patreons, or you're not a Patreon subscriber and you remember a certain part of the episode, please do fill that in. Just visit update.rsbnb.com/clips. We ask for the episode number, the time index. Better if you give more detail, like an exact minute and second marker, but if you don't, just give a general idea, like tech news or pick of the week or patch notes or wherever it might be. Describe the clip, tell us why you think it's worthy, and then leave us your forum name, your RuneScape name, a Twitter handle, something, just so we can thank you for that at update.rsvme.com/clips. And, of course, if you want the podcast delivered automatically to you, you can subscribe to it on any podcast listener out there. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, for your Amazon, Alexa, and Echo devices. We're also on Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and, of course, YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. So I think that's it for this episode, and we'll be back next week as we start heading into December and slowing things down as we head into the clip show. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care.
See ya.